Marjorie sank onto the edge of her bed with a soft groan. What a dreary social season lay ahead with the rebel army afoot. No weekly visits to Lady Woodall's drawing room to share cups of tea and savory tidbits of gossip. No rainy afternoons spent with Lady Falconer, listening to country airs sung by a daughter of the gentry. No rounds of whist in the affable company of Lord Dunn. Nothing but royalist dragoons patrolling the high street, bayonets at the ready. A sharp knock at the adjoining bedchamber door made her jump, nearly spilling the handful of guineas from the bed onto the carpet. "Who is it?" she asked, unhappy with herself for sounding frightened. "Donald," came the low reply. Lightheaded with relief and grateful for his company, Marjorie deposited the money on her dressing table and ushered her older son within, then closed the door as quickly as she'd opened it. With no central hallway in their apartments, each room had adjoining doors, one chamber leading to the next. Even among Edinburgh's wealthiest residents, privacy was rare. "Forgive the intrusion, Mother." He looked down at her, candle in hand, his smooth brow gleaming. The cambric loosely tied at his neck could not hide the sharp lines of his collarbones. 10 years of dining on Edinburgh's finest mutton and beef, and still his frame remained as slender as a youth's. "'Tis late, I know," he apologized. "The hour matters not." Marjorie touched his cheek affectionately, struck afresh by the family resemblance. Donald had the same long nose Lord John once had, the same thin-lipped smile. "Look how the father's face lives in his issue," she quoted, testing him. It was a favorite pastime between mother and son. "Ben Jonson," he answered, naming the playwright without hesitation. Few gentlemen in Edinburgh were better read than Lord Donald. She'd made certain of it. Heir to the Kerr title and lands, he'd proven himself an attentive son and a faithful husband. If he was not yet a doting father, that was no fault of his. "Still in your boots," Marjorie observed. "I thought you'd be off to bed by now." The corners of his mouth twitched. "I will be, shortly." He scanned the chamber, his gaze finally landing on the pile of coins glimmering in the candlelight. "Do you think it wise to leave your gold where anyone might find it?" Donald not only looked like his father, he sounded like him. Marjorie swept the coins into her silk-fringed reticule and pulled the drawstrings taut. "We have far greater worries this night. The rebel army is nearing Linlithgow." "Aye, Gibson told me." The stoic Neil Gibson, manservant to the household, took pride in keeping Donald and his younger brother well-groomed and well-informed. "I've come to put your mind at ease, Mother." "I see." She chose her next words with care, keeping her tone light. "Does that mean you'll not be joining the gentlemen volunteers?" She watched his blue eyes for a flicker of interest. Hundreds of young men had enlisted in support of the royalist troops, many from Edinburgh's finest families. Lord willing, her sons would not be numbered among the recruits. "I've no such plans," Donald confessed, "though I cannot speak for Andrew. You know his penchant for flintlock muskets." She did know, much as it grieved her. Lord John had urged their second son to pursue a career in the military, despite her motherly protests. Pistols, swords, and a dozen French muskets decorated Andrew's bedchamber walls. Even walking past his many weapons unnerved her. Monsieur Picard, their fencing master, had trained the lads well, but he'd done so for sport, not for battle. That very afternoon, Andrew had observed the volunteers drilling in the college yards. Marjorie had counted the hours until he returned home for supper, then listened with a heavy heart as he regaled the family with stories of grizzled sergeants marching the lads through their paces. "Have no fear," Andrew had said soothingly at table. "The Lord Provost took no notice of me, Mother." She was unconvinced then, and even less so now, with his older brother paying a late-night visit. "I have your word," she prompted Donald. "You'll not encourage Andrew to take up arms against the Highland rebels?" He brushed aside her concerns. "Whatever you say." Donald began circling her chamber, with its oil paintings and Chinese porcelain, its silk bed hangings and red lacquer commode. Piece by piece, she'd had her favorite plenishings delivered from Tweedsford, their estate on the borderland, until their rented Edinburgh rooms were filled to bursting. When Donald paused at one of her windows and unfastened the painted shutter, Marjorie's breath caught. Might a Jacobite spy be abroad at this hour? Pale and fair-haired, Donald would be easily spotted from the high street below. No moon in sight, he observed, resting his forehead lightly on the glass. No Highlanders either. They'll arrive soon enough. Marjorie extinguished the candle by her bed, shrouding the room in darkness. Sleep while you can, Donald, and keep that bonny wife of yours close at hand. Aye, the smile in his voice was unmistakable. So I shall. He left by way of the drawing-room door rather than the one leading to his bedchamber. Bound for the kitchen, no doubt. He'd eaten very little at supper. Mrs. Edgar, their housekeeper, would not let him retire on an empty stomach. Marjorie closed the shutters, then returned to bed, determined to sleep however dire the news. Her beloved sons were safe beneath a roof. Nothing else mattered.